When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Chad Young.
Hello and welcome to the First Pitch Podcast. As the man said, I am Chad Young. Going to apologize up front because I'm a little under the weather, and so I'm going to try to edit out as many of the coughs and sniffles and other wonderful noises as I can. But if you get some left over, or if I just sound weird, my daughter told me today that I sounded like I might have a little bit of a stuffy nose. So you're probably hearing that as well. My apologies for that, but doesn't mean we can't talk baseball. And hey, it's July, which means we're about halfway done with the season. It is time to start getting serious. The stretch run is coming up. So you got to start making some decisions and get ready to try to win your leagues. Not a ton today, but a few notes out there. The Cubs put Jason Hayward on the IL and called up Narciso Crook, who in addition to an excellent name was having an excellent season at AAA. No longer a prospect, the 26-year-old has the highest OBP and slugging of his career and is well on his way to a career high in home runs and stolen bases. I'm pretty close to a 2020 pace. 9 home runs and 11 stolen bases so far. There appears to be a lot of swing and miss in his game. He came in as a pinch hitter on Thursday and was 2-for-3 with a double, a run, and an RBI. Deeper leagues, keep an eye on him, but not jumping just yet. Padres called up another older minor leaguer, 27-year-old Matthew Batten. Batten has good OBP skills, but only 15 career minor league home runs before this year. This year, he's got 10, so maybe he figured out some of that power. He's also got 13 stolen bases, so there's sort of an interesting power-speed combo. However, there really isn't a role for him on this team except as a backup. He was used as a pinch runner on Thursday, and I suspect that will be his main role. No real fantasy intrigue for me unless something changes there. The A's optioned Christian Pache to AAA. One of the key pieces in the return for Matt Olson. Pache picked up where he left off last year, and that is not a good thing. Strikes out too much, doesn't walk enough, has shown no power. On the plus side this year, his walking K rates have improved with Oakland versus where they were with Atlanta, and his Statcast data has improved as well, but his struggles offensively are bad, and they're giving back all of his defense and then some. I imagine you dropped him long ago, but if you didn't, you should now. Adrian Hauser had elbow tightness, and that's going to send him to the IL for the Brewers. He came out on Thursday after giving up 3 runs and 5 hits and a walk without a strikeout and 2 1/3 against Pittsburgh on Thursday. Milwaukee's expecting to have Aaron Ashby back soon. He's currently lined up to start Saturday at Pittsburgh. That would be ideal as they could easily replace Hauser in the rotation with Ashby. Couple of guys out briefly. J.P. Crawford is starting a 4-game suspension, and David Price will be away for 3 days dealing with a family emergency. Some guys headed back. Tyler Naquin starting a rehab assignment that should last about a week. Tyler Stevenson taking live BP with a rehab assignment to follow. Reds don't have a lot of bright spots and can really use those too. Ronald Acuna has been out a couple days since falling a ball off his foot, but said he's feeling back to normal. Didn't play Thursday, but a good chance he's back as soon as today. Nick Lodolo coming back early next week for the Reds. They're going to temporarily use a 6-man rotation with a doubleheader coming up, but we'll see what happens after that. And Jordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena in the concussion protocol and didn't play Thursday after their collision on Wednesday. They both should be back before too long, but with concussions, you never really know. All you can do is watch the news and watch lineups. On to the action on the field on Thursday. Andrés Giménez finished 3rd in the first round of All-Star voting, but don't let that fool you. He has been as good as any second baseman in the league this year, and he was at it again Thursday, going 1-for-4 and reaching base on a hit-by-pitch, scoring 2 runs. The lone hit, a monster walk-off home run, as the Guardians again beat the Twins late. Giménez should be rostered everywhere, as he is now hitting .308 with 9 home runs and 6 stolen bases. If you don't already know who Derek Hall is, you should probably find out. Derek, D-A-R-I-C-K, went 2-for-5 with 2 home runs for the Phils on Thursday. He scored 2 runs and drove in 3. Hall isn't a prospect anymore at almost 27 years old, but he's flashed good power in the past. He had 20 home runs at AAA this year before getting the call. He picked up right where he left off. He also batted cleanup, which suggests the Phillies are going to lean on him. If you need power in deeper leagues, I would definitely take a look. He is at least an interesting speculative ad. There are worse players you could get. Speaking of guys you may not be familiar with, Pirates catcher Michael Perez hit more home runs Thursday, 3, than there are auto new leagues that roster him, 2. Before you get too excited about those 3 home runs, though, that effort raised his WRC Plus in the year to 61. There aren't a lot of fluky 3 home run games, but this might have been a fluky 3 home run game. Teoscar Hernandez, you probably have heard of, he was 3-for-4 with a double, a home run, a run, and 2 RBIs against Tampa. Hernandez struggled earlier, but has been brilliant since Memorial Day weekend. If you could trade for him with a manager who's sort of thrown off by his mediocre overall line, I would do it. I think he could be great the rest of the way. Patrick Wisdom spreading the dong knowledge twice Thursday, adding a stolen base to boot. He was 3-for-6 with those 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, and 2 runs scored. The average is going to hurt you, but the power is legit, and he has chipped in 3 stolen bases now as well. Ramon Laureano went 2-for-5 with 2 home runs, 2 runs, 4 RBIs at Seattle. He hasn't been great, but now has 4 home runs and 7 stolen bases in just 189 plate appearances. He's on pace for something like a 15-20 prorated season. He probably won't reach those numbers because of the time missed, but don't sleep on that just because the raw numbers look low. Finally, Justin Turner making an appearance tonight. In the midst of just a dreadful season that had me wondering if it was time for the Dodgers to move on, Turner went 3-for-3 with 2 home runs, 2 runs, and 3 RBIs, accounting for all the Dodgers' offense. Those were only his 6th and 7th home runs of the year, but maybe this is a sign he's turning things around. There are worse guys to sit on given what his track record is. We know what he is capable of, but he has looked really rough this year. Other home runs around the league. The ball was flying out in Philly. In addition to the 2 from Hall, the Phils got home runs from Nick Castellanos, Kyle Schwarber, and Rhys Hoskins, while Atlanta got home runs from Michael Harris and Adam Duvall. Anthony Rizzo hit his 21st, Jack Sawinski hit his 13th, and O'Neill Cruz hit his 2nd. Pirates are getting kind of fun these days, huh? Isaac Paredes already has 11 home runs, Bo Bichette hit his 17th, P.J. Higgins hit his 3rd for the Cubs, Christopher Morel hit his 7th. The old men got it done for Cincinnati as Votto and Pham went deep. Elvis Andrews hit his 4th, Dylan Moore hit his 4th, and Julio Rodriguez hit his 13th. Not a lot of stolen bases out there. Bryson Stott stole his 3rd of the year. He was 2-for-3 with a walk and appears to be heating up again. Vidal Bruon stole his 4th, and George Springer swiped his 8th. On the mound, Chris Archer only gave up 1 earned run, but that was after walking 4 straight with 2 outs in the 2nd. He finished with 6 walks and hit by pitch, had only 2 strikeouts, but he did only allow 1 hit in a no decision. His ERA is a shiny 3.08, but the peripherals are ugly, and this does not look sustainable to me. Shane Bieber averaged 91.3 on his fastball, a bit over a season average. That helped him to 13 whiffs and a 35% CSW as he went 6 innings, allowing 3 runs on 5 hits, 2 walks, striking out 5. Not a great start, but kept the guards in it against a very good Twins offense. Starting Ian Anderson at Philly was probably never a good idea, but 7 runs on 7 hits with a walk and a strikeout is a lot worse than I expected. In shallower leagues, it is past time to move on as he is not maintaining what he's done in the past. In deeper leagues, I think you can keep him and wait him out, but only if you're comfortable leaving him on the bench as he's a matchup play at best these days. Aaron Nola was decent, going 7 innings pitch, allowing 4 runs and 7 hits and a walk, striking out 8. Not exactly what you expect from the ace, but he did have 16 whiffs and a 30% CSW. Just got hit with a couple of home runs in this one. The Luises, Severino, and Garcia had a nice duel going. Sevy went 6 innings, giving up 2 runs on 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts, but took the loss as Garcia got the win, going 5 1/3, allowing 1 run on 3 hits and 2 strikeouts while striking out 6. These are both impressive lines against 2 excellent offenses. Yusei Kikuchi trying to pull me back in. 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 8 strikeouts, and just 1 walk versus Tampa. Kikuchi's velo was way up on his slider, which got 7 of his 13 whiffs. He had a 41% CSW on that pitch, though just 29% overall. If that slider velo can stay up and makes that pitch play up, I might get interested. Graham Ashcroft had a 3.27 ERA coming into the night. It jumped all the way to 4.53 as he gave up 7 runs over 2 1/3, allowing 7 hits and 2 walks with just 1 strikeout. Ashcroft does not get strikeouts, just 5.77 K per 9 on the year, which leaves him susceptible to rough BABIP days, and Thursday he had a couple walks, which he just can't afford. I think that this 4.53 ERA is closer to the real Ashcroft than the 3.27 he had before. Kyle Hendricks, meanwhile, managed 7 strikeouts and just 1 walk, limiting the Reds to 2 runs and 6 hits. He's also risky, but Thursday limited the hard contact and got a quality start and the win. I like him more than Ashcroft, but not much. Despite the 2 home runs to Turner, Joe Musgrove got a quality start going 7 and striking out 10 with just 1 walk, allowing 3 runs and 5 hits. All good except for the loss for the Padres ace, at least one of their aces anyway. Mitch White held the Padres to 2 runs and 6 hits in 4 and 2 thirds. Nice showing, but the Ks are still too limited and I don't think there's much to see here. Finally, Logan Gilbert struggled with Oakland, giving up 4 runs and 8 hits and a walk in 6 innings with just 3 strikeouts. This is his second straight rough start, and while he hasn't been as sharp since his brilliant April, coming into Thursday, he still had a 3.12 ERA and a 3.52 FIP since May 1st. Don't bail on him. Moving to the bullpens, the Twins' bullpen continues to need work, but Tyler Duffy looked good in this one, going 1 2/3 with 4 strikeouts and no base runners allowed. If he can settle back in, Duffy plus Duran is a nice start for that pen, but it still needs help. Emmanuel Clase got his second win as he pitched the 9th, holding the game tied before the walk-off. He allowed a hit and had a strikeout. Ryan Pressly got his 17th save, striking out a pair of Yankees to close it out. David Bednar has been dealing with some back issues and could not finish out the game for the Pirates tonight. He gave up 3 runs on 4 hits with a walk and 0 strikeouts and 2/3 of an inning pitched before Yeri De Los Santos came in to get the final out and his second save. Bednar's velo and spin looked fine, but just 2 whiffs and a 17% CSW. If he isn't healthy, the Pirates need to give him some time because they aren't going anywhere anyway. Adam Simber got his 4th save with a strikeout for the Jays. Jordan Romano had gone back-to-back days and was unavailable. He should be back today. Simber is a nice handcuff, though. Craig Kimbrel got his 14th save with 2 strikeouts. Kimbrel's been rough with a 3.96 ERA on the year, but his FIP is just 2.09, and I would definitely buy low if I could. Paul Sewald gave up the 2nd Laureano home run, but still got a save, striking out the side in the 9th. That home run was the only blemish. It was his 8th save on the year. As we turn our attention to today, let's start with the weather with our friend Mark Paquette.
Thank you very much. Well, as we end the work week and into the July 4th holiday weekend, we have a couple games to watch for some rain. The first game is going to be an afternoon game at Wrigley, and it's also an interleague series between two very historic teams, the Cubs, obviously, and the Boston Red Sox. Some showers and thunderstorms will be around, especially in the morning and the early afternoon. They should be able to get enough dry weather in there to play this game. The other game with some rain issues is going to be held at Coors Field in Colorado, where the Rockies are hosting the Diamondbacks. They're usually very good at being able to get the field ready to play this game, and I expect that to be the case today as well. Anyways, I'll talk to you tomorrow and have a good one.
Thanks, Mark. Looking at options for Friday, Rich Hill is against the Cubs. Brad Keller is against Detroit. Both are widely available and have good matchups if you're looking for pitchers to stream. Trevor Rogers has been really bad, so I'm going to be starting my Nationals. Lane Thomas in particular seems like a really good guy to play against him. Others on the Nats, good options as well. I also expect the Twins to take out some frustration on Spencer Watkin and the O's. As for what I'll be watching, what I'm most interested in on Friday, Padres-Dodgers is an interesting one. Can Snell get right? Can Gonsolin keep it going? Just think that'll be a fun one. I also think Corbin Burns versus Ronzi Contreras and PNC sounds excellent to me. I would definitely be checking both of those out. Before you start watching games, though, make sure to read the SP Roundup batters box and reliever ranks on Pitcherless. Get into more depth of what happened on Thursday and what's coming on Friday. Hope you have a good night, and I will see you tomorrow.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.